Morning, everybody. Okay. I don't preach all the time, so you got to listen to me this morning. So, my share is only once a year. So this is probably the, may probably be the only sermon for the year. All right. So, bear with me. Maybe let's just go to God in prayer, yeah? Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you, O God, that you are a wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord. God, today we come to you with our hearts. We ask, O God, that you will fill it up, O God, with your love, your kindness, your grace, O God, and turn our hearts, O God, back to you. Father, we pray, O God, that this morning that you will flood our minds and our hearts, O God, with a sense of your presence, a sense of a knowing that Jesus is close to us, Lord. Lord, we want to yield this service to you. This service belongs to you. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you will have your way in our midst, O God. Jesus, may you be glorified, O God, in everything that we do and say, Lord, this morning. Father, I just commit this whole service to you, Lord. May you be blessed, O God. May you be happy, O God, with all that is going to take place right here. Bless your people, Lord God. Bless them with your grace. Bless them with your abundance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today I come to you, preaching to you, not as I'm coming to you today to preach to you as a brother. All right, I'm not here to preach to you as somebody who knows it all and has been victorious in what I'm going to share with you. All right. But I come alongside you and tell you things that has happened in my life, in my heart, so that God will be able to come to you in that similar way. Okay. So, let's read the scripture together. This morning's message is kingdom living and a lifestyle of seeking God. Matthew 7:7-11. Let's read it together. Shall we rise? Okay. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Okay, you may be seated. This morning I will just preach from verses 7 to 11. So, when Jesus spoke about this passage, Sermon of the Mount was actually drawing to a close. And Jesus has been talking about the inner life, the relational aspect of kingdom living amongst his disciples. So what did he talk about? All right, in Matthew 5, the first few verses, he spoke about beatitudes, the blessedness of one's life. And then in Matthew 5:13-16, he talks about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Then he goes to true righteousness. And then he talks to us about anger. He talks to us about lust, divorce, oaths, retaliation. He talks to us about loving our enemies, giving to the needy. Then he talks about the Lord's Prayer, fasting, the love of money, anxiety, and finally before this passage, he spoke about judging another. Now, verse 7 to 11 is not the only reference to prayer that Jesus has made, but these are his final admonishments on prayer as he closes Sermon on the Mount. So when somebody says something at the end of a sermon, it must be something that is of paramount importance. Amen? So we need to listen to what Jesus is really trying to tell us here. The passage here in summary says that tells us that Jesus is asking us to seek God and to know and trust God's heart. And in the midst of all these issues of life, Jesus is actually pointing us back to the Father, God the Father, for His empowerment to live out this Sermon of the Mount. We cannot live this kingdom lifestyle by mere adherence to the Sermon on the Mount in human wisdom and strength. We can only live this kingdom lifestyle from the inside out, empowered by God. Therefore, we need to cultivate a lifestyle of seeking God earnestly and with confidence to live this life successfully in the sight of God. So the very first point. First thing we have to do is to seek God earnestly. Jesus is telling us to seek God earnestly. Verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you, and seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, ask here indicates prayer. Seek and knock here are actually metaphors of prayer. They are pictures of prayer. Right, and if you read it carefully, you will notice that ask, seek, knock, they actually imply an increased intensity in our seeking of the Lord and going deeper in Him. All these three verbs are actually in the present continuous tense and indicate that indicate the persistence with which we should make our requests known to God. Now, Richard Glover suggests that a child, okay, ask, seek, and knock. What his interpretation is this. Suggests that a child, if his mother is near and visible, ask. If she is neither, he seeks. While if she is inaccessible in her room, he knocks. Ask indicate that we should seek God humbly and depend on Him for our provision. Seek implies that while committing our request to God, we should also at the same time check out the leads, and knock would mean a continuous asking and seeking, demonstrating persistence and perseverance, earnestness. I had a discussion with Pastor Elvin the other day, and he suggested that ask, seek, and knock would also reflect a continuum in our prayer life. From being a young believer to a mature one. I don't know whether you know this trend. When we are young in the Lord, when we first begin to know the Lord, whatever we ask, we seem to get. Okay? But as we are growing up, our prayer changes from asking for things to something like, God, change me. You know, I'm seeing so many faults in me. Can you please change me? Then as we mature, our prayer takes on another level. Okay? It's not so much about asking God for things anymore, although we still do. But that is not the main thing. Okay? We want more of God. Our prayers become, Lord, we need more of You. Lord, help me to surrender to You. And help me to put You first in my life. There's ask, seek, and knock. Okay, if you look at verse 8 says, for everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. If we read this carefully, you will see that the emphasis is not on ask, seek, knock. Jesus is trying to tell us. The emphasis are on words like receives, finds, and open. While verse 7 implies perseverance in seeking God, verse 8 emphasizes the certainty of finding Him. Let's read the scripture, alright? Jeremiah 29:13. God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. And He rewards those who diligently seek him. Okay, diligent comes from another version, all right? I'm using the ESV. But I like the word diligent, okay? Where we earnestly seek him, where we seek him with all perseverance, God will be found. All right? So when we find God, we find the answers to our prayers. Okay, if verse 7 implies a crescendo, you know what's a crescendo? In music, in musical terms, crescendo means getting louder. Alright? So in this case, Jesus is not saying, if you pray louder, means you are going to be answered. Yeah. So, but crescendo in the sense that there is a crescendo in the intensity in which we seek the Lord. If verse 7 talks about a crescendo, then verse 8 is the climax of the crescendo. That's when our prayers are answered. Now, I want us to look into this familiar story of Hannah, okay, to illustrate this point about seeking the Lord. Hannah, in short, okay, Hannah was a barren woman whom God blessed with a child, Samuel, after she sought the Lord persistently and earnestly. Hannah's story is a picture of persistent seeking and asking of the Lord. Let's read this scripture together. Just follow along. 1 Samuel 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Gamkanah, yeah? Elkanah, okay? The son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, is it? Tohu, son of Zub, and Ephrathite. Is it Ephrathite? Yeah, right. He had two wives. Man, how many wives do you have? Okay, one, not two, yeah? So, one was of the name, the name of one was Hannah, okay? And the name of the other is Penina, okay? And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. One, on the day that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penina, his wife, and to all his sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion. Double portion here could mean the best part, not necessarily more, okay? Best part to her because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the Lord of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel. For she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Now, I want to participate you in this sermon, okay? So since so many of them who did storytelling, they ask you questions. So this morning, I'm going to ask you questions, okay? We are family, we are small here. I can hear you, okay? So the first question is, how do you think Hannah felt in her situation, being barren? Okay, come on. How do you think she felt? Sorry? Left out? Unworthy? Embarrassed? Some more? Looked down by society, very dangerous, you know? So looked down by society. What else? Incomplete. Okay, what else do you think? How do you think she felt not having a child? You know, everybody has one, but she doesn't have any. Tried for so long, prayed for so long, huh? Alright? So she would, okay, to sum up, I tell you mine, she must have felt very sorrowful, shameful, you know, guilty, and constantly perhaps wondering, what's wrong with me? Why is it that I cannot have a child? Did I sin or not last time? You know, have I done anything wrong? All these questions were probably going through her mind. And don't forget, she was also probably very angry. She had an enemy, right? What's her name? The second wife. Okay, very likely. You know, probably sometimes she will come and then, you know, she will parade her sons, you know, before her, and you know, she will feel it. Don't have to say anything, one. Action speaks louder than words, sometimes. This is the situation in the home. You know, imagine gathering around the family table, all the sons of the second wife. How do you think she must have felt? What do you think? Second question, Hannah. How do you think Hannah could have reacted? She reacted differently, we know. But how do you think she could have reacted? Bitterness. Probably blaming her husband. Right? Apparently they tell me it's the man's fault. Okay? Anyway, never mind. She could have been bitter, remained at her state of anger. She could have continually entertained frustration and guilt. She could have blamed God. She could have shut people out of her life. Even worse, she could have used the M16 and shoot down all the sons. She could have. She has an enemy. What do you do when enemies throw darts at you? Natural human throwback lah. But how did Hannah respond? That's what we want to know today. How did she respond? And thank God she responded this way. Hannah, first of all, sought the Lord. She talked to God before she talked to men. How many of us You know, when we are frustrated, you know, we go to our buddies. La 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 la. La, he did me that, me do you that, that kind of thing. How many of us do we really bring our problems, first of all, to God? Hannah sought the Lord with earnestness and persistence. All these adversities, the pain in her heart, the frustration, the guilt. Hannah kept seeking the Lord yearly as she went to the temple at Shiloh. She kept knocking on heaven's door. She refused to give up. Year after year, imagine. Year after year. We're not talking about days. We're not talking about months. We're talking about year after year. She seeks the Lord. And year after year, the pain, imagine, in her heart of not getting something that would lift her head. Hannah must have felt frustrated, guilty, unfulfilled. You name all the D words. Distressed, diseased, devastated, felt unfairly treated for the longest time. How many of you are feeling like Hannah today? How many of you have been asking God for answers for the longest year? You've been seeking solution to your problems for the longest time. Amidst the adversity, amidst the pain that is in your heart. My exhortation to you, my encouragement to you is be like Hannah. Let's be like Hannah. Those who seek, they will find it. The scripture says, those who ask, they shall be answered. Okay? So, because God is so relentless in His love with us and He wants to bless us. We must know this very well. God wants to bless us because we are His children. We belong to Him. You know, sometimes I see that one of my nieces, Zoe, okay, especially, she may be naughty. But if you ask Elvin deep inside his heart, does he love her? Of course. Of course. This is the way God loves us. Sometimes we may be naughty. Yeah? We do things that we should not do, and we do not do the things that we should do. But does that disqualify us as children of God? Absolutely no. The reason why we are sons and we are daughters is because we have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. It is the atonement that makes us worthy to stand before God. It is the atonement that makes us sons and daughters of the living God. No amount of good work you can do can earn your right as a son before the Lord. Because He loves us, God sometimes allows problems and adversities to get our attention so that we will come back to seek Him earnestly. Maybe you have been jobless and it has been months since you got a salary and your bank account is getting low. What do? Pour out your heart to God. Okay, I want you to say with me. Pour out your heart to God. Okay, say it nicely. Pour out your heart to God. Okay, maybe you've been asking for a child. It's a physical one, real one. Huh? So ha. Okay, but your age is catching up and the answer is slow in coming. What do you do? Pour out your heart. Kui lui sim. Tell the Lord everything that is in your heart. Yeah? Maybe you've been asking God for the restoration of a relationship. But the more you ask, the worse the relationship gets. What do you do? Pour out your heart to God. Maybe you've been praying for the salvation of your son because his life is in a mess. But it seems like the more you pray, the deeper he gets entangled in the mess. What do you do, church? Pour out your hearts to the Lord. What does it mean to pour out your heart? Very easy. If you look at the life of Hannah, she spoke to the Lord out of her bitterness, the vexation, the anxiety. You know, when we come to God, we got to be honest. You don't tell him, he also knows already. So you might as well tell him. As Asians, sometimes I think that we are very reserved. Crying is a no-no. Lam yan mui ham ge. Lao ngan loi pat yi. What ah? What ah? What's that word? Lao hit pat yi lao ngan loi. Okay? You bleed. You rather bleed than to shed tears. Okay? But our culture is like that. Like when we cry, it's a symbol of weakness. I think we have got to put this aside, We are trying to live a kingdom culture here. And this kingdom culture must be one that freely allows our tears to flow. God keeps our tears in a bottle, the psalmist says. This is how precious your tears are to the Lord. There's just something about tears that moves the heart of God. You know why I say so? When you see somebody crying, will you not be moved? If you're not moved, means Mayan. Not person anymore. You're not human. That is a glimpse, a little glimpse of who the Lord is. He is moved by our sadness. He is moved by our tears. Psalm 62 verse 8. This is one of my favorite verses. You've been hearing me saying it off and on. Let's read this together. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Let's read this one more time. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Okay, the next slide, please. But prayer is more than just asking God to help us solve our problems and asking God for needs and wants. Prayer is cultivating an intimate relationship with God until we know His will and submit to His will for our lives. In short, prayer is not about us. Prayer is all about God. Alright. The answer to Hannah's prayer came only when she made a vow to the Lord to dedicate Samuel for the Lord's service all his life. This shows us that Hannah actually submitted her will to God and put God's purposes first in her life. We don't really know why the answer was delayed. There could be multiple reasons as you look into this story. Number one, it could be because of her not submitting her will or yielding her will to the Lord. That's one. It could also be because she was hammered in and out, you know, by the enemy, she would have entertained a lot of unforgiveness. And we know from the Lord's Prayer that we need to forgive in order for the Lord to forgive us. And that's being one of the prerequisites to answered prayer. Or thirdly, it could also be the case of an evil force hindering the prayer from being answered. You know, like in the book of Daniel, we've seen that Daniel actually prayed to the Lord, but the answer only came later because there was a hindrance in the spiritual realm. Some of you need to look into that, okay? This is what I sense in my heart. Some of you really need to look into, perhaps looking at this point where there could be a spiritual hindrance to the answer of your prayer. Okay, in Hannah's case, I'm not surprised that this could be the reason, because the child, Samuel, that Hannah would birth forth would eventually be used by God to lead Israel back to the ways of God. One of the foremost prophets in Israel. Do you think the evil one would want to allow, you know, somebody of a man of God to be birthed forth to stop his purposes and plan? Definitely no, right? So this could be reasons why. Now, in the context, okay, I'm going to bring us back to the context of this verse to just the preceding verses. The preceding verses that Pastor Alvin preached last week talked about judging others. We have been asked by the Lord not to judge, okay? To make sure that we are clean first, okay? We do not point a finger. Okay, in this context, we usually judge people that we don't like. Am I right? Huh? I mean, if Alvin likes me, what for I judge him? Now, if you say something bad to me, I let you go, never mind, you know? But at home, I will say, da, 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 da. I will judge you. This is human nature. For example, a colleague who backsteps us. A brother who doesn't seem to flow with our vision. Or even our loved ones when they fail us. We judge them. This is why and when we need to seek God earnestly to break down the walls of relational tension and to bring reconciliation back to the relationship. He will take away the wrong thoughts that we have towards one another, the suspicions, judgment, the prejudices, and all these negative things, and will help us to humble ourselves before others. He will guide and lead us with His wisdom, not only to know what to say or do, but also what not to say and not to do to the person who have hurt us. Now, this one is very difficult. I cannot tell you how to do it. All our relationships are different. Okay? Various degrees of tension and ease. Okay? You see, but the Lord promises this. If we ask, we will find. Sometimes relationships are horrible. Why? Because they can get entangled in such a way that you can't even think of a way humanly to dissolve that problem. It's very, very difficult. It's messy. But I've got good news. God can do it. If we come to God, we seek God. God will tell us. God will speak to our hearts. Oh, don't say this thing to this person. Or do this thing for this person. And as He leads us and guides us, and as we obey, we will see the walls coming down. Amen, church? We will see the walls coming down. But we need to seek God. Sometimes answers don't come so easily because God wants to change us. Many times when I seek the Lord earnestly, like this week, I've been spending time with God, but instead of preparing the sermon, God has been surfacing things in my life. Shocking sometimes. But when the Lord rebukes us in private, He exalts us in public. Do you hear what I say? He rebukes us because we are His sons. He disciplines us in private. But before men, He exalts us. This is the heart of God for us. Many other scriptures exhort us to pray and seek the Lord earnestly. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. New Testament tells us to pray earnestly with perseverance. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many of you want to do the will of God? How many of you want to do the will of God? Amen. And what does the will of God say? Pray without ceasing. When you go to the market, pray. When you drive your car to school, pray. When you go for movies, pray. I'm serious. Otherwise, you'll be watching the things that you shouldn't be watching. Huh? When a friend hurts you, pray. When you don't have money, what do you do? Pray. All right. I need to stir you up a bit, huh? Or else I will be the one doing all the talking, yeah. So it is important to cultivate a lifestyle of seeking God, okay? Cultivate. I use the word cultivate here, yeah. Not every one of us is where we want to be, alright? Seriously, I don't think I pray enough. Alright? So, we start from where we are. Okay? One day, you know, where as I was teaching one of the students, she's not a believer, yeah. And she's blah, 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 blah. And then, not very good. I cannot say who, huh? Okay? But cannot, not very well. Technique, huh? The technique, the finger and everything. Oh, geksima. Very difficult to correct. You know, always hard to correct. You see? So, I was sitting there quite agitated, no? Being me, huh? So, I felt a voice telling me, you know, tell her it is okay to start where she is and then to improve from there. I heard it once. I say refuse. I refuse to entertain that voice. Yeah, what for? Got hope, man. Then the voice came again. Tell her it's okay to start where she is and then improve from there. So what did I do? You know, being me with my mouth. I said it to her. She was okay, you know. You cannot see anything wrong with her, no. Suddenly she started to cry. Oh my goodness. The last I saw her, a few weeks ago, the playing changed. The tone was fantastic, very nice. I haven't heard her playing so nicely. God is saying to you, doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter. Start where you are. If it's only 10 minutes that you can talk to God, let it be 10 minutes. Then slowly increase. Okay, church? Cultivate a lifestyle of seeking God earnestly first and foremost, because seeking the Lord in that manner shows that we love Him with all our hearts and minds and soul. Secondly, seeking God earnestly comes with a promise that He will answer. Let's seek God because we know that He will answer. And let's not give up until we see the answer to our prayers. Second point, seeking God with confidence. Okay, first point is seeking God. What? First, seeking God earnestly, okay, with perseverance. Don't give up. Secondly, we need to seek God with confidence, okay? What do I mean? Let's read verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Now here, you know what Jesus is doing? Now, before all the verses, Jesus tells us, you know, all the other commandments, you know, like you must not be angry with your brother, lah. And then, you know, if you're angry, it's tantamount to murder, you know. And then Jesus says, do not lust. If you lust, then it will be tantamount to adultery, okay? So all these things, you know. And then it tells us not to take revenge and all that stuff. Now, what is Jesus telling us here? Jesus is giving us a stimulus, yeah? Giving us a stimulus for seeking God. Sometimes it's very hard to seek God, nah, when we have wrong idea about who God is. Okay, so here, Jesus is trying to tell us, your Heavenly Father is like this. Seek. Ask, seek and knock. Why? Because your Heavenly Father is like that. In fact, Jesus says that I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, but the Father is the destination. Jesus wants to lead us to the Father. I cannot lead you to the Father. Neither can preachers lead you to the Father. Only Jesus can lead us to the Father. So in this verse here, what is Jesus talking about? He's trying to show us a contrast. Okay, it's actually a parable, okay? A contrast between a human father and our Heavenly Father. Okay, nice, huh? HFHF. Huh? Like DKNY, you know? Alright, human father versus Heavenly Father. Jesus is saying here that if a human father who is by nature sinful and selfish knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is good, perfect, kind and generous, gives us his children good gifts. Jesus wants us to have a right perception of our Heavenly Father so that we can trust in him and come to him boldly and confidently to ask for good gifts. God is exceedingly eager to bless us if we ask. God gives us good gifts because we are his children and because we ask. I'm not a father, but I recently spoke to somebody who was somebody, a friend of mine, in fact, my mentor, okay? So he was telling me that, fathers, what do fathers do, when they have a child or, you know, when the baby is first conceived, you know, what runs through the mind of a father? He told me that, he would actually plan ahead of the child already. All right. When the child comes, or even before that, you know, when he's dreaming about having a child, or about his education, what a father would give to his son, you know, about all the plans that he has for him. Like, perhaps for some of the mothers, okay? Maybe you are thinking, before the baby comes, you already decorate the room, you know, with stars on the ceiling, you know, this kind of baby cot, or this kind of toy I think my son will like. You know, you will plan ahead. And of course, in the process of growing up, you discipline the child. Yeah, but does that cancel the plan that you have for him, fathers? You discipline him, but you still have his best interest in mind, right? If you want to send him to Juilliard, Eastman, Victor, you still do so. Because a father has the best for the kids. Likewise, our Heavenly Father, he has plans for us even before we were born. I want us to read Psalm 139. Okay, 139. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. This is how precious we are to God. He has a book that writes down all that he has already planned for us from the day we were born until the day we die. Our future is in God's hand. We don't have to be afraid of our future. We will all end our journey on this earth well. We will end well because He is watching over us. And He has great plans for each one and every one of us. Familiar verse, Jeremiah 29:11-12 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil. To give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear." Which one comes first? God's plan for you, or when you start calling? Which one comes first? The plans come first, church. God has that plan first. Then only we come and seek Him. The plan was always there. That is the heart of God. When you know His plans, you will come and seek Him. This is the heart of the Father. The plan first, before the prayer. There's another verse that tells us, very familiar verse, it's not here. Ephesians 3:10, it says, "Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or think." You know, from my experience with God, God always answers us with more than we ask. I think many of us here can testify. So much more until you cannot handle. Amen? That's the kind of God we have. He is generous. He is not stingy. To grow deep in prayer, we must grow deep in God. Edmund Chan, Jeremy's mentor. Alright. I must say that this is a must read. This book by Edmund Chan, Growing Deep in God, right? Okay. It's a must read. If you have a chance, get hold of that book. It's really good. Alright. I've quoted a few things from that book. To grow deep in prayer, we must grow deep in God. Our view of God radically influences the way we pray. And he says that if we embrace an entirely wrong theology of a reluctant God, as a result of which we end up with an entirely wrong theology of prayer. If we think of God wrongly, therefore, we will also pray wrongly. It's very important. In fact, in his book, he says that this is even more important. In fact, he says that this is the main point that Jesus is trying to bring across to his disciples. And truly, the knowledge of the character, the true character of a father, is the thing that God wants us to, Jesus wants us to know. If we have a perception that God does not have our best interest in mind, and that He is a reluctant, legalistic, hard to please, harsh and distant God, we will find it a burden to come to Him and to seek Him. Prayer then becomes a duty rather than a delight. You know what I think? God wants to do something today. God wants to make your prayer life a delight. Something enjoyable. Some of you have been going through very difficult times of prayer. You don't even want to pray. I believe the Spirit of God is saying that He wants to release that seed of delight in prayer into your life this morning. Okay, I need help. Somebody has a sunglasses. Come. Okay. Sunglasses, huh? This is my student, Wing Kit. Why did God send you today? Must be for a reason, huh? Okay, Ringgit, my student, he was studying with me for a little while when he was younger, and then he went overseas to study. All right, when he came back from Ukraine, right, I spoke to him. I said, you know, give Jesus a chance. I just simply said that word. That thing bugged him. And when he went back to Ukraine, the Lord pursued him like nobody's business. Serious. We have no time for his testimony. But he's somebody that God has saved. And God has a tremendous future for this young man. He will be a prophet to the nations. All right. He's going to be powerful. All right. But now is his season to seek the Lord earnestly, yeah, and get prepared. Amen. So, the reason why I ask him out is not because I want to prophesy. Okay. The reason why I ask him out is because he's wearing a sun specs. Now. Let me give, can somebody, okay, Kenny, come, my buddy friend. Can you tell me, what color, with this specs on, what color is his shirt? No lah, come on. This is not supposed to be your answer. Through your lenses. Through your lenses. What color is that?
Orange.
So near me. After I check, then what about that part there? The sleeves here?
What color is this?
No, through your lenses. Black, yes. I mean, do you know what I'm trying to get at? No, okay, then I have to explain. Okay, thank you very much. In reality, Kenny's shirt is actually red and white, right? But through those lenses, he saw it as black, yeah? White also like becomes black, and then red also like because of the lenses, it became like kind of orangey black. Okay? My interpretation, okay? Alright, so this is it with us. We see God through tainted lenses in our lives. As Christians, we read and we know intellectually that God is a loving Father, but do we know and are we convinced in the inner sanctum of our lives, of our hearts, that God is really kind and really loving? Do we have a believing heart, a heart that is full of faith, or an unbelieving heart, a heart that is full of fear and doubt regarding the goodness of God? Why is there such a great chasm between the heart and the head? We know in our minds, God loves us, my Jesus loves me, this I know. But do we really, really know inside? Because if we really, really know, we will live our lives differently. We look through God through tainted lenses. And these tainted perceptions of God are often the result of our upbringing, the experiences that we've gone through as kids. Okay, I'm going to take some time. You have to bear with me. Some of you may have heard this story, but I think many have not heard. So I'm going to retell it. Okay, some of the stories that have actually tainted my perception of God. Now, I grew up with asthma. Okay, very bad. Endless sleepless nights for my parents. Okay, because they know that I'm weak, they actually forbade me to do many, many activities that I would love to. Alright, for one, when I was in my secondary school, I did not take part in sports at all. Additional sports every year was a letter. Not fit to go. Additional sport is compulsory for everybody. Alright, but even then, I chabut. Okay, I didn't get to do. Not that I like it, but this is the scenario of how serious the whole thing is. Okay, Chinese New Year. You know, everybody had fun, right? All the cakes, all the lychee, longan with ice, you know, Thai yen and all that stuff. Ayo. Ayo leo malele. Okay. You're craving, okay? But my parents have to say no. One sip, I remember, few New Year's. One sip, the next moment. And then, you know what I'm saying? It was that bad. And there was another incident that really, really, really drove this thing in, you know. We were in Genting Highlands. All are my cousins. Telanjang. Okay? Means didn't wear anything because they were going swimming. Okay? Me? All wrapped up, you know, like a snowman. And they were like swimming, and then I was asking myself, why? Ask mom, dad, cannot go. Cannot. You know, when I became a Christian, what happened was, even before asking God about something, I will have this idea, you know, He will say no. It's not that He says literally no, but it's me, you know, I'm perceiving God through tainted lenses of my frustration, anger, and this blocked me from knowing who God is really is. And it was like everything is a no, even before I start asking. Imagine the frustration. I give you another testimony. Not testimony, actually. how I'm tainted by a wrong image of the way I see God. Growing up, Dad used to bring us to KL for holidays. Okay, the reason why I'm sharing this, but before I share this, okay, I want you to know that my dad is the greatest dad on earth. Okay, second to my heavenly papa. That's all. Okay, and my mom is the greatest mom too. All right, and because this story involves them, I don't want you to misunderstand where I'm coming from. Okay. And it also involves my sister. Where's my sister? Sister, you are the greatest. No, I'm serious. Thank you for the polo shirt, yeah, by the way. Alright, by the way, you did very well today. I know you're anointed by God. So you should do this more often. Amen. Did she do well just now? Yeah, she led well, right? Okay, come on, let's just give glory to God. Okay, I'm going to repeat this. Some of you have heard, but please bear with me. I grew up being the firstborn of my family. Alicia is the second. Okay, being the only male in the family, my father wouldn't say high expectations, but he had expectations for me simply because he came from a very humble beginning, and he wanted me to have a better future than himself. So he actually gave me a lot of work, very strict with education. All right. But the problem is that when it came to Alicia, when she was growing up, I secretly resented in my heart, you know, that she was given less tuition. You know, in form five, I had 6 tuitions. Mind you, that's because dad, from his good intentions, he wanted me to have the best. He didn't even have 1 tuition when he was growing up. So all that he wanted for me, he gave it all, okay? So, you all must understand, okay, being dads, correct, not, nah? So, this is where I'm coming from. But the problem is, I secretly resented the fact that there was kind of in my mind different kind of treatment. Okay, so That was bad, yeah. Where was I? Sorry. Okay, that was maybe the Lord is leading another way. Yeah, I was supposed to tell you another story, but it has shifted. No, I'm serious. Let's see how the Lord leads. Yeah. Anyway, never mind. So very bad. So I didn't know that it was that bad. It was actually tainting the way I look at my father. I mean, there was a wall, like it or not. When I come to him, it's always, oh, have I done anything wrong? When I come back with a report card, red mark, ayo, don't know what to do, you know. When I got my first red mark, he didn't punish me. That's how nice he is, okay? But just to let the scenario, there was tension in the house, and at least from my part, okay, I didn't see him as a warm father, you know. I didn't see him as being approachable at that time, okay. So but things started to change when I sought the Lord. See, one of the incidences that happened that took place was, I remember when I was seeking the Lord, I felt that the Lord was telling me, go up to Balik Pulau and share the word of God, share the gospel to your grandfather. Now, I tell you, I was scared. I knew it was coming. Why? I was scared because my father is the firstborn of his dad, and the first to become a Christian in the family. To become a Christian was already very difficult for him. Imagine having to ask him to go and preach the gospel to his father. So I guess God wanted me, the grandson, to do it. So being very zealous, but without knowledge, you know, I remember, you know, Jeremy was with me. I think Lanfun, they were with me. Sorry, I need to pull you into the... Okay, I went up lah. So I said, go quickly preach the gospel, then I go back ready. You know, I went up, I tell, hey, ya so suka, ya so sayang lu lah, you see your lu to this si chi kek lah. And all these things, you know, in Hokkien. And when I said it, I quickly went off already. I said, oh my God, where am I going to put my face? You know, what if my father finds out? And then I kept hearing this voice, you have to go out and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. So without telling him, I actually took his car, go up lah every now and then. You know, I didn't like doing it, but because I wanted to obey the Lord and I was in the process of seeking Him, I did as best as I could to preach the gospel, spend time with my granddad and all the stuff. Soon he found out lah. And then he said, don't you think I don't know what you're doing behind my back? Okay, so never mind lah. So, but then there was already a growing tension. Can you see the whole thing brewing? But this whole thing wasn't for a reason. God was actually bringing all this out, up to surface, you know, so that He can clean me up. Alright, so that He can show me where my heart was. Not that preaching the gospel was wrong, but the motivation behind the preaching of the gospel was not in place. I should have consulted Him, you know, or I'll perhaps pray even more earnestly that His heart would change and then help me to go up and obey the call of God. Eventually, he did lah. But it was very awkward, very weird. We seldom talk. Maybe over casual things. But that's it. So what happened was, somewhere along this time, over some incident, I remembered, I told my dad, you know, I was very sore at him, and I said, Dad, you love Alicia more than you love me. Why that statement? Just very recently, just yesterday, God surfaced this in my heart. And I'm going to tell it to you. Many years ago in KL, while all my cousins were going shopping and mom and dad, everybody had something, but I did not have. I wanted to, okay, never mind. I don't have. So, desperate, right? Everybody has, you don't have. Bohu heaven ho lo tio. Bohu heaven ho. No fish, prawn also can. Okay? So I saw this nice shirt lah. And then I went, I told my dad I want this. The real reason is really not the shirt, not, but because I want it. Father said no lah. Mom also said not nice. Go back Penang only buy. But cannot, doesn't register. You know what I'm saying? We were in a restaurant. I remember I went to the toilet. I cried. In my mind, God, no, Dad doesn't love me. You see where it came from? From one little incident, way back in life, after that, the same statement came up. And God began to show me another area of my life. Same statement, God, you don't love me. Is that true? Of course not. But it didn't register in the heart. So coming back to the story, what happened? Sought the Lord, and one day, God answered my prayer. There was a seminar by a man of God called Tommy Tenney, and normally my dad doesn't go for seminars. But somehow that day, he was led to go, no, and I also wanted to go. Now, I'm serious, huh? This must be orchestrated by God. He didn't want to go, and suddenly he said he wanted to go. So we went. So we were in church, raising our hands, worshipping the Lord. And then the speaker, Tommy Tenney, said, I hear the thunder of God's presence coming near into this place. And then I was very proud. Back then, I was already an intercessor of the church. I pray. I'm very sensitive to God's presence. I know when He's there and when He's not. You know, I was telling myself, are you telling me? You know? Then, what did I do? And I said, I just disregarded Him as He preached. And He says, now, take out a handkerchief or a tissue paper. What I want you to do now is I want you to wipe the shoes or the feet of those around you. So I took it out, I wiped the one next to me on the right, I think, on the left, you know, and then the Spirit of God said, I want you to wipe your father's feet. Now, you must understand, all that wall, very difficult for me. You know, embarrassed, and I didn't want to obey. Inside my heart, there was a big, big tug of war. Then, the Spirit of God say one more time, I think. He says, wipe the feet of your father. The moment I touch my tissue, touch his leg, wanted to touch his leg, my father said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's my father's heart, yeah? But I say, cannot. I have to do this. The moment I touch his leg, something in my heart just broke. The Spirit of the Lord came down on me so strongly that day. It was like I was deep into a bucket of water and shaker until I was so clean. All the hurts, all the frustrations, all came out. This is what God is going to do for some of you today. He's going to clean you upside down and shake you because He loves you. Imagine, I was hungry for God's power then, you know, anointing and all those stuff. And all this while, I think that I could actually earn His favor by going up to Balik Pulau, preach the gospel, thinking that I'm dying to myself. But all the while, He was seeking me to tell me that He loves me. Something broke that day in the realm of the Spirit. I could really feel love for my dad at that moment. No more negative thoughts. Nothing negative at the back of the of my mind, in your subconscious. God came through that day. You know what he did for me, my father, that day? I was planning for a trip to go to Australia. He says, Raymond, I'll pay for your trip. It's not the trip, people of God. It's his gesture of love. Is God using him to heal my heart? And my relationship with my Heavenly Father from that time on, different. My perception of Heavenly Father is different. One that loves me. I do not need to strive in my own strength and slave my way to honor him. Yes, evangelize, pray. But the motivation now is correct because my perception of him is correct. God can do this for you as well. So, why so touchy? Why so touchy and weepy this morning, right? Because yesterday, God showed me a parallel. You know, all this while, you all know that I'm a local music graduate, and one of my desires, I even went to university already with a diploma. One of my desires as a music teacher is that I, if possible, I would like to teach the higher levels, the diplomas. Why? Because faster money, ma, per hour. You know what I'm saying? You ask Victor and see? He's laughing there. Oh, you see? More money per hour, nice. Sit down only here, play through. They're not so good. Here not so good. They're not so good. Like that, ready. You get your money inside. I'm serious. You ask him and see. If you're good enough, you're so sharp that you just point it. You know exactly the first phrase of the music. You already know what's wrong. God has blessed Victor and I with that kind of capability. Okay, that's why we can do it. But anyway, coming back. I had a resentment towards God because I felt that all these things were very slow in coming. You know, when I started my first piano lesson, I didn't reject the girl, you know. She rejected me. Hey, me, not bad, you know. Famous in Penang, you know. Budding student, not Mr. Bae Yong, you know. Technique very good, you know, musicality, give senior recital, fully memorized, 50 minutes. Playing meaty pieces, you know, not like the tear guy, not like the easy stuff. I'm talking about quality, meaty repertoire of the concert level. This one beginner only, you know, rejected me. So it was difficult. I grew up with the perception that, how come God, you make things so difficult for me? That's the question I had in mind. Why do you keep making things so difficult for me? Just send me overseas, let me get a degree and then solve the problem. I don't have to go through all this nonsense. But God has a lesson. God wants to deal with the inside heart. He is still dealing, that's why I'm telling you. Not that he has not blessed me. Today, three quarters of my students are diploma students. That's how much he has blessed me. But I had to wait lah. Long time, no, slowly, no, it was a gradual build up. Today I'm very blessed. I've got a waiting list of diploma students. I can't even take in anymore at this point. Alright? And, I'm very, very happy about what God is doing. But still I struggle. There's one more goal that I want to achieve in my life, which I felt God was not allowing it yet. Okay? So, this is it. Yeah, I'm gonna come to a close very soon. Thanks for listening. But I need to make this point, yeah. God doesn't want to answer our prayers immediately and give us what we want now. If God doesn't answer our prayer immediately and give us what we want now, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love us or that he's mean or unfair. We may not say it out, but many times we believe this lie in our hearts. This is totally opposite of the truth. God knows what is best. He sees into the future. God goes before us and shields our ways. He has our best interests in mind and at heart. And God doesn't always answer us according to our timing, but according to His timing. Delay doesn't mean denial. Father wants to give you your shirt, but you gotta wait for His timing. God sometimes doesn't answer us immediately because He knows that we are not ready for the blessing. And God wants us to be ready in our hearts to be able to handle that blessing before He gives it to us. God loves us too much to allow that blessing to be turned into a curse. Good gifts. Which of you, if your son asks for a bread, give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, give him a snake? Even if you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Sometimes God doesn't give us what we want because what we are asking for are not good gifts. They are not His will for our lives. We need to pray and emulate Jesus' example in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." God loves us too much to have us settle for lesser things in life than His best for us. We need to ask God for His grace to yield to His will for our lives. Because He is our Creator God, He has created in us a void that only He can fill. True satisfaction comes from knowing God and His will. When we have the right perception of God, we will be able to come to Him with confidence, with faith, believing in Him, trusting in Him, that He's more than eager to bless us with good gifts that we ask of Him. Prayer then becomes a delight, not a duty. Father in heaven loves us and pursues us relentlessly. He's not a distant God or harsh God who slaps us at our every failure. Just like an earthly father who has got great plans for His children, but also sometimes discipline them, even more so our Heavenly Father. So we need to trust Him because He has our best interests in mind. As a conclusion, I would like to play you this song. It is called "Father Me" by Graham Kendrick. It's a very old song, but this song has been in my heart for the past week, and I just like to share it with you, okay?
Thank you, precious family, Acuñas. Domenico Luciano, my son, and Francesca Maria, my daughter. Our children.
It's good to have a Father, Father God. I love the way He fathers me.
Oh, Father of the fatherless, in whom all families are blessed, I love the way You father me. You gave me life, forgave the past. Now in Your arms I'm safe at last. I love the way You father me.
And broken, I draw near. You hold me close and dry my tears. I love the way You father me. Oh yes, at last my fearful heart is still surrendered to Your perfect will. The way You father me. Oh yes, Lord, father me. Forever You father me. And in Your embrace I'll be.
Exchanging for my wretchedness, your pain rolls of righteousness.
I love the way you
close the service now. But before we do that, okay, I want to give some of you an opportunity to respond to God, okay, to this morning's message. If you need prayer, if you need the Father to touch you, if you need the Father to work things out in your life, I think now is a good moment, you know, when you've heard the word of God and God is speaking to you. This is a time to respond in His presence. Father is here. You know, this is one message where I didn't have to struggle much to really so-called ask Him to be here and to speak to you, because I know He's here today. And, you know, let God minister to you. Let this place be filled with the water of the Spirit of the living God. Alright, so but we're going to close this service. If you want to go, you can go. But those of you who need prayer, this is the altar. This is a place, meeting place for you with the Father. Pour out your hearts to Him. Let Him do something deep and beautiful in your life. Things will begin to change in your life. Tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow will be better. Because God is in the picture. So those who want to go, maybe you can quietly leave, but let me just pray a blessing for you. Lord, bless the people as they go. Now I feel God says, don't close the service yet. Let's take a moment. I think some of you need to respond today. Okay, so we're just gonna sing. Hallelujah. Just allow, just Alicia to play. Don't have to sing anything. Okay, if you want to be prayed for, I invite you right now to come. Alright, come to the front. Just respond to God. It's between you and God. It's not about me. I need to settle my issues before the Father, even right now, even today. Alright? But we're going to allow you time. Let's not hurry. I know it's late, but I think it's essential that we talk to Him. We communicate with Him. Father, we want to come before You. Father, we ask You to heal our hearts, God. All the pain, all the disappointment, all the shame, all the frustration, Father. We bring it before You. Father, we ask You to heal us. Wash us in the river of Your Holy Spirit. Father God, cause prayer seeking You to be a delight rather than a duty, Lord. Help us to fall in love with You one more time, that we will seek You, Lord, that we will love You, Lord, from inside out. Father, thank You, Lord.
Pour out Your Spirit. Pour out Your love. Pour out Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. Pour out Your word.
Come, let's just rise as we sing this one more time. Pour out.
Pour out Your Spirit. Pour out Your love. Pour out Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. Pour out Your word.
Thank You, Father.
Thank You, Father, for Your love. Thank You, Jesus, for Your grace. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your communion. This is what I pray.
Pour out Your Spirit.
Pour out Your Spirit.
Father, fill each heart here right now. Cause Your Spirit to refresh, rejuvenate, empower us one more time. Father Lord, we ask You, O God, to fill the hearts of Your people here, Lord God, as we go our separate ways. Let Your Spirit fill deeply and overflow, even at home, even when they are doing their quiet time with You, even as they are driving. Holy Spirit, may You speak to them. May You whisper in their hearts, O God. And begin to tear down the walls that are not of You, Father, in our lives, O God. Spirit of the living God, do a mighty work in this church. Do a mighty work in our hearts, O God, so that we are drawn near to the Father. oh God, so that we are drawn near to the Father. Change us, change the motivation, oh God, of serving you. Oh God, help us to be sons and not slaves, oh Father God, serving you. So bless the people as they go, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you. You may be dismissed. God bless you.